My dear friends in Christ, in today's gospel, we see our Lord working a miracle, the cure of a deaf and dumb man, using a sort of ceremony. It says he took the man aside from the crowd and he put his fingers into the man's ears. And then spitting, meaning touching his finger to his mouth, to the saliva, he touched the man's tongue. And now he was able to hear and speak. And we might wonder, why did our Lord, who could have simply by a word or even an act of his will have cured the man, why did he go through this ritual or ceremony? I think it is a reminder to us of the fact that we as human beings are impressed by what we see, what we hear, what our senses perceive. This is how we get our knowledge, from our senses. And knowing that we are creatures composed of body and soul, Holy Mother Church surrounds the sacraments with ceremony, ceremonial. Our Lord instituted the seven sacraments, but the Church has surrounded them with rituals, with ceremony. For example, the sacrament of baptism consists in the pouring of the water and the priest or person baptizing, saying the words, "I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's it. That is the matter and form of the sacrament. But when a priest baptizes, there are many other prayers, there are anointings, there's a placing of salt on the tongue. There is this ceremony from this gospel, touching the baby or the person's ears and nostrils and saying those words of Ephphatha, "Be thou opened unto the odor of sweetness." So the Church then, recognizing that we are moved, we are affected by what we see, what we perceive, has prescribed these various rituals. We sometimes use the term rubrics. Rubrics would be how we do something, whereas the words would be what we say. Now, if you were to look at the priest's altar missal from the altar and go through the pages, you would see a lot of print in black and a good amount, especially for the ordinary of the Mass, in red. The red would be the instructions for the priest, what to say, when to say it, how to say it, in a loud voice or a subdued voice, when to genuflect, how to hold his hands, whether together or apart, and so forth. And the word for red in Latin is ruber. And so that's where we get the word rubrics. So the rubrics tell the priest what to do. And then the black print would be the words that the priest says in offering the Mass. And one of the things that strikes us is the care with which Holy Mother Church instructs priests to perform the sacraments, to offer the Mass, etc. You would be very surprised to read one of the books that seminarians use as they are preparing for the priesthood to learn how to say Mass. They have to learn all the rules for their eyes. When do they lift their eyes up to the crucifix? When do they have them down? How do they hold their hands? How do they fold them? When do they hold them apart? And how do they hold them apart? And the signs of the cross, the bows of the head. Three different bows, a bow of the head and shoulders, and then a bow from the waist, a deep bow. When do you use the different bows? And then the bow of the head is further subdivided into three other bows of the head, whether a slight bow, a medium bow, or a deeper bow of the head. And again, when are they used? Now, you don't see this in any other church. You would not find in the Protestant churches books with extensive instruction on the rubrics and how the priest is to offer the liturgy and so forth. And to my thinking, that in itself is a proof that the Catholic religion is the true religion. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, you find the religion of the chosen people, the old law, the Mosaic Law, that God gave Moses very detailed instructions for the worship of God, for the sacrifices that were to be offered, the vestments that the priests would wear, and so on and so forth. And that is just a symbol, a foreshadowing of what we find in the church, that Holy Mother Church is very careful and very specific on how the priest offers the Mass. Again, all of the rubrics which the priest must study, or the seminarian, I should say, would study for months before being ordained. So we worship Almighty God not only by the words we say and the thoughts in our minds and hearts, but also the actions which we perform. When you attend Mass, you're standing or sitting or kneeling. You genuflect when you come into the church. You make the sign of the cross. You bow your head at certain times. All of this is a way of worshiping Almighty God. And a priest is bound. He cannot just pick and choose following the rubrics. He's bound to be very conscientious and exact. In fact, I think it's in the book in Purgatory where there was a priest who was in purgatory because when he made the sign of the cross over the oblata, he did it in a sloppy manner. And he had to spend time in purgatory for not being more careful, more devout. The idea behind the rubrics and the way the priest offers Mass, and all priests offering Mass the same way, is that the individual priest, his personality, his character, should disappear, because Christ is the principal priest at every Mass. Whereas compare that with the Novus Ordo, where the priest has become an entertainer, and there's a complete loss of a sense of the rubrics, keeping one's fingers together, for example, after the consecration, until after they've been purified after communion. The genuflections have been, for the most part, eliminated. And the priests in the Novus Ordo now facing the people become, I'm sure, very conscious of how they appear in the eyes of the people, instead of facing the altar, offering the sacrifice of the Mass to Almighty God. So rubrics, again, are important because the manner in which we worship God is indicative of our reverence for Almighty God. I believe it was the Little Flower, St. Teresa, who said, I would give my life for one of the rubrics of the church. She realized the beauty of the rubrics and the purpose of them, and again, that's part of the worship of Almighty God. As I mentioned, to my thinking, this is another proof that the Catholic Church is the true religion, because you don't find this care, this specific guidelines in any other religion. So those are thoughts that come to us from this gospel of the unique manner in which our Lord performed this healing of the deaf and dumb man. I would like to conclude by quoting the last sentence of St. Paul in today's epistle. He begins by acknowledging that he's not worthy because he persecuted the Church of God. He was called to the apostleship, but he felt himself very unworthy because of the fact that he had persecuted the church. But then he goes on to say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And indeed, we each could say that, because whatever good we have, we are. Whatever we do, whatever virtues we practice, it is only by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Why are we even here in this church this morning? By the grace of God, we are here. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But then he goes on to say, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. I think some translations are, his grace has not been void. Let us make certain that we are using the grace of God to advance in virtue, to live a life of sanctifying grace, to conquer temptation, to grow spiritually, to become daily more and more Christ-like and Mary-like, so that we also can say with St. Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.